following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield IMG College.
Wake up, Eagle Nation! Touchdown, Georgia Southern!
This is Inside Eagle Nation, your all-access look into Eagle athletics.
Taking a look through all the other action in Georgia Southern athletics this past week. A lot of road action. A lot of teams hitting the old I-16 out of town.
Getting on the steel horse and taking us to parts north, south, west, wherever. Can't really go too much farther east.
Now, let's return to the Learfield IMG College studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
That's a fact, Jack.
Welcome in to episode number 2 of Inside Eagle Nation Live, episode number 116 of Inside Eagle Nation overall. Doing the math early this morning.
Even earlier this morning.
Having to bump it up to about a 7:30 start because of a all-staff athletics meeting taking place about 8:30, just your monthly check-in with administration. But happy to be with you on a Tuesday morning here on Inside Eagle Nation, your official podcast for Georgia Southern Athletics. We'll dive into men's and women's basketball action this past week against the Trojans of Troy, as well as everything else going on in Eagle athletics.
Hopefully not the rain, though, because it's rained enough the last few days. But good thing is, if it rains now, maybe it doesn't disrupt softball and baseball season.
It can rain all it wants to now.
Those are the positives.
But starting Friday, when softball gets rolling, we got to shut it off.
That doesn't work.
No. No moss.
That dog won't hunt.
No. As always, Inside Eagle Nation is presented by our good friends at Arcola Septic. Arcola Septic is your premier septic services provider to Bullock, Bryan, and adjoining counties, and a great family-owned business that's run by a pair of Georgia Southern alumni. Make sure to give them a call at 912-318-7939 or visit them online at arcolaseptic.com. For both commercial and residential customers, their more than 10 years of experience can help you out with pumping and servicing your septic system, drain field repairs, new system installation, and all of your septic needs. Remember to follow them on Facebook, Arcola Septic, yesterday's Meals on Wheels. A lot to get to this week.
Yeah, the Word doc over your shoulder. It's got a lot more text on it than it usually does.
You got to make it a little bit smaller to be able to fit it on one screen.
Just the time of the year.
But as always, you can join the conversation with us here on Inside Eagle Nation Live. You can text us 912-274-3607. You can comment right here on the Facebook live stream. You can tweet at us at GS Sports Network, or you can call us. We talked about it last week, opening up for the phone lines for the first time in, what, 5 or 6 years, I think. Well, not that one. It's back there.
Yeah. Can they see it?
Right there.
Yeah, it's back there.
Yeah, there it is. 912-478-7004.
If you're spry enough in the morning and you want to talk about Eagle Athletics.
Yeah.
I mean, we're here.
We're right here.
We're for it.
Started off with Georgia Southern men's golf had their first team event of the spring as they head to Gainesville this weekend for the Gator Invitational Friday through Sunday, a three-day event down in Gainesville. Women's golf will have their first tournament of the spring as well at the First Coast Classic at the Deerwood Country Club in Jacksonville next Monday and Tuesday. Georgia Southern men's tennis will be at home for two matches this weekend. It starts on Friday at the Wallace Tennis Center, they will host Presbyterian at 2:30, and then move on to Sunday, where they will welcome in the Stetson Hatters at noon. That's always still one of my favorite names, the Hatters.
It's their logo.
Yeah, it's just a big cowboy hat.
Have you been to the arena?
I haven't been to the arena. I've been to their baseball facility.
We still need to get Coach Hanna to tell the story about when he saw the water boy get filmed down there.
Oh, that's right.
That was our big teaser when we had to get on furlough during the spring. We'll get him back and tell that story. But the two games I filled in before I took the job here in December of 14 played at South Florida and then played at Stetson. And sure enough, you get to Stetson's court and the logo at center is a big hat.
Yeah, it's just a big brown cowboy hat. I've always wanted to know what and I'm sure it's readily available, but I've always wanted to know why you called them the Hatters. Does somebody just like wearing hats?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Anyway.
But we will get Coach Hannon to talk about watching the water boy get filmed, because that's when Western Carolina would have been down there.
Yeah. They will have Stetson at noon at the Wallace Tennis Center for Georgia Southern Men's Tennis on Sunday. Women's Tennis will have two matches as well this weekend. Both of them will be on the road. Friday, they'll head to Clinton, South Carolina to take on Presbyterian. First serve at 1 p.m. Saturday, they make their way to Sparkle City to take on Wofford and Spartanburg at 10 a.m. Georgia Southern Rifle with two matches this weekend on the road as they head to Moorhead, Kentucky. Friday and Saturday, both 8 a.m. starts against Moorhead State. You ever been to Moorhead, Kentucky?
One of the few places in Kentucky I have not been.
Wow.
Former head coach for Georgia Southern men's basketball, Mark Byington, told me about Moorhead, Kentucky once. And that was all that he said.
I'm going to guess there's a much longer story.
The ironic thing was we were walking to a restaurant in Troy. What he told me about the time that when he was with the College of Charleston, the time that they played up there.
Were you walking to Little Mossy's schoolhouse?
No, where we would have to do pregame meal, because in Troy, we've talked about the two hotels that are right across from each other. Well, one of them, you're not able to have a team meal because there's just not enough room. It's just how the hotel's built. So to go up
the right one.
Yeah, you go from the one on the right. So we'd go up the pathway, and the little road leads to the left. And after we did our pregame interview, and I think we did this every year, we would do our interview. The team would already be at the restaurant, and we'd walk up. And one day he told me about Moorhead, Kentucky, and he didn't have too much to say about it.
Good morning, Miss Oshida. She just said good morning to us.
Neck bone. Let's go.
You got some neck bone this year.
Oh, I sure did. I sure
and that was
did.
The first time you had a neck bone, right?
Yeah, as much as we talked about it. I still got to get Coach Lunsford to eat some Scrapple. Maybe that can be my goal for this year.
Scrapple.
Get somebody to send us some Scrapple. I may need the Pelkasons to do that because there are Pennsylvania people.
That'd be kind of cool to do, and you couldn't do it in a COVID year, but have everybody on the team. In football, you'd be having a feast. But have everybody on the team get their family to make something that is
unique to where they're from?
Yeah, original from where they're from. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. With football, I don't think we'd ever run out of people either.
You definitely wouldn't run out of food, I can tell you that much. Georgia Southern women's soccer added a couple of games to the schedule. They will start Saturday down in DeLand to take on Stetson. There's those Hatters once again. 3 p.m. the kickoff. They will have one game at home at Eagle Field in Irk Park. 7 o'clock start the following Thursday, February the 18th, against North Florida. Then we talked about the two games against SEC opponents. March 11th, they will be in Gainesville to take on Florida. And then March 27th at Ole Miss to take on the Rebels.
I'm excited to see what Chris Adams can do in year one.
Yeah, it'll be the Thursday before first pitch for Georgia Southern baseball. And so Aaron Soka and I have already planned out the weekend for that one.
Yeah, there's a lot going on that weekend.
Georgia Southern Swim and Dive had senior day this past Saturday as they defeated North Florida 147-130 after honoring the five seniors in a pre-match ceremony. Emma Sutton took home first place in the 800-yard freestyle. Anna Marie Hoynak, which is one of my favorite names in Georgia Southern athletics, took the top spot in the 50-yard breaststroke as they look ahead to the CCSA Championships hosted by Liberty on February 15th and 17th. Georgia Southern volleyball in the middle of their spring season. They fell to Jacksonville 3-0 last Tuesday, having the final spring match of the year against North Florida inside Hanner Fieldhouse tonight at 5 p.m. just down the hall in the arena.
And they finish up their spring cleaning, as they're saying.
I haven't seen a what you talking about Willis lately. I mean, I guess he's been busy getting ready for games.
Yeah, they probably would have been doing some now, but maybe when they finish and they can fully transition to the offseason. Because if you think about it, they really didn't get an offseason yet.
No.
They spent the last couple of months just milling around after the Sun Belt tournament in Foley for these three matches in the spring.
Georgia Southern softball will host the Bash in the Borough to open up 2021 this weekend. Friday against Western Kentucky, 5 p.m. the first pitch. Saturday they take on the Hilltoppers again at 1:30, and then UNC Wilmington will enter the tournament at 5 p.m. And then on Sunday, 1:30, the first pitch against UNC Wilmington. Got a chance to catch up with Coach Kim Dean yesterday as we were recording the Coach's Corner for Blue White Weekly that'll start this weekend on WJCL. She was talking about how it's crazy to think what we used to get stressed about doesn't really matter anymore. Because she's talked about, she'll be walking around Parrish and people will be like, "Hey, have you seen the weather forecast for this weekend?" She goes, "Yeah, it's supposed to rain." She's like, "I'm just glad we're at the point where we're playing games."
Makai Freeman, preseason All Sun Belt, just got announced.
Georgia Southern in the preseason poll picked 7th for, I think it's the 4th consecutive year.
Yeah.
I think it's every year that Coach Kim Dean has been here. It's been preseason number 7. But talking to her yesterday, they like the underdog mentality of people counting them out.
This year, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because they've got every starter back.
Yeah.
Including Freeman, who hit 400 in 24 games last year, hit 5 home runs. She was out the gate very quickly last year. And having to wait a year after starting so well, I think about this with Mason McWhorter for baseball. He was leading the Sun Belt in RBIs right before the shutdown. But having all that time to wait, I just wonder how much better it's going to be.
Yeah.
How much more she's going to be able to do in her final season.
Yeah. They've also got a cool story. We're going to get her on the podcast a little bit later in a couple of weeks to talk about it. But they do a coffee bean mentality.
Yep.
Based off the Don Gordon book, The Coffee Bean Mentality, and it's whatever you do to help the team, you're adding coffee beans, and you're trying to figure out what's the strongest pot you can make. Think of Travis Cunningham.
That's a strong pot. Well.
But she says even Ray and Jeremy that work on the field will get done raking the field and then look at it and be like, how many coffee beans is that worth? Told her she should put up a chart of if you do this, it's this many beans, this is this many. It's almost like a menu.
It's worth snaps.
Yeah. They'll get it going this weekend over at Eagle Field. And a little bit iffy on the weather, but hopefully they get a couple of games in this
That's why
weekend.
We made a deal with Nature Now. We'll trade you some rain now if we can start this weekend. Same for baseball. Tennessee comes in town next weekend. We will gladly swap a couple of soggy days if we can go off without a hitch on Friday night.
The weather's actually getting better for this weekend because at one point it was supposed to snow on Saturday.
Hmm.
I can't imagine softball and snow go well together. Yeah,
Boone is the only snow I'd want to see this year.
Yeah,
unavoidable.
Yeah, no kid. We'll see it in a couple weeks. Georgia Southern women's basketball had Troy in town this weekend. On Friday night, it was a 96-91 victory over the Trojans of Troy.
Great game.
Troy had come in 17 straight victories over Georgia Southern, 12-0 in Sun Belt play. 1978 was the last time that Georgia Southern had knocked off the Trojans. And Troy got out to a 33-18 lead. After the first quarter, the Eagles would be down by 16 with about 2.5 left in the first half. But came out hot in the second half. Taryn Ward, a big reason why, had her first career double-double, 17 points, 15 rebounds. Eden Johnson added 20 points to that. But Troy really had Jasmine Robinson try to take over in the second half. She had 33 points in that game against Georgia Southern and lost. It was the most by a Sun Belt Conference women's basketball player this year.
Wow.
And you don't have somebody score 33 and lose very often. You also don't score 91 and lose very often. But
it usually goes one of two ways. You either blow someone out, or it's a game like that where you have to have that person score that many points to keep it where it was. And I know they were up by 16 points, but to see that they still ended up losing the game, big credit to the Eagles. And we have talked before, it was right around a month ago, that I know Troy's had a bit of a hold on the women's basketball team, but all those games have been good games.
Yeah.
Those have been competitive games. They've been 1-2-3 possession games, and it was so nice for them to finally get one.
It was the first time that Troy had led by double digits and lost since the 2019 WNIT. Troy doesn't give up leads very often, but they did on Friday.
See, that's another surprising part of them because of how fast they play. With games like that, you could be up 15, but okay, we're going to have 10 more possessions than we usually get. We score a little bit, we stop them a couple possessions, hey, right back into it.
Move on to Saturday, as Georgia Southern would fall 92-83. The Eagles were in it the whole time, like we talked about with Troy pretty much every game. The Eagles haven't been necessarily blown out in a whole lot of games against the Trojans like most people. But Alexis Dye and Felmus Karinga really took over the game. They each had a double-double. They have both had a double-double in all four games that Georgia Southern has played them.
Jeez.
Alexis Dye leads the nation in double-doubles. There's only been three games.
I know four.
There's only been three games all season where she didn't have a double-double. 16 of 19 games, she has had a double-double.
And with the lack of bigs in not just the men's game, but also the women's game, you don't hear double-doubles too much anymore. Now, the athleticism across the board has probably increased, but typically you're associating the double-double with points and rebounds. Now, with some guys in this league in the past, some women in this league in the past, it's been, well, maybe they can get it on assists. Maybe you might scrape it and block shots once in a blue moon if you're playing Coastal Georgia or Georgia Southwestern or something like that. That consistently, though, that's...
I would think, and again, we haven't seen anybody in the West, but I would think she's a pretty good candidate for Player of the Year. She's the real deal. And it makes me laugh because her name is Alexis Dye, and she has dyed her hair green.
I'm sure you talked about that.
Just a little bit.
I'm sure you and Renisha had some nice tales about that.
Taryn Ward would finish with 20 points, 9 rebounds. She finishes with Sunbelt Conference Player of the Week. First time in program history, three different players have been named a Conference Player of the Week. First time in program history, a freshman has been named Conference Player of the Week. And you really saw Taryn Ward take the next step in her progression. And we talked about it with Coach Howard last night on Inside Georgia Southern Basketball. She was right on the cusp of breaking through and taking that next step when we were at Troy a couple of weeks ago, but that was when she was shut down for the weekend because of contact tracing. And so she didn't get to play against the first two games against Troy, got back into the swing of things, and really, really busted out against Troy this weekend.
You have to think about why players are recruited. Some don't see a transition until sophomore year, maybe even junior, senior year. But everybody is recruited to play somewhere for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's extremely nice to see Taryn Ward can have back-to-back games like that against the best team in this league and be able to gain an individual honor like Sunbelt Player of the Week. I remember looking at the box score thinking, okay, I've heard about Taryn Ward a few times this year, but to go 17, 15, and then 20 the next day? And then what else is going to be after this? Because you still have 3 weeks left in the regular season.
Yeah. Crazy to think about what's next.
I mean, that's an option that maybe the women's team wasn't considering because you're going to look for IT, for Eden, for Tatum Barber to supply most of the scoring. But you can get that kind of punch. That's a big deal.
Next up for Georgia Southern women's basketball, they'll be home against Georgia State on Thursday, 6 o'clock the first pitch, 2 o'clock on Saturdays. We head up to the lovely third floor. Well, I'll head up to the fourth floor.
But, and you've already been there twice.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry for that. Yeah. Georgia Southern men's basketball was in Troy, Alabama, as Brian Berg rang in year number 41 on a bus to Troy. I mean, how else would you want to do it?
He was about as I would expect. Got a nice gift from the team. They sang him happy birthday right before we went to practice. And I talked with him about the song on Inside Georgia Southern Basketball last night. Somehow Kamari Brown got to be the one who was ticketed with leading the team. And he said, hey, say happy birthday once a little bit before. They liked it, so he was appointed the guy to do it the rest of the year. Son, come in, shoot threes for me. I also want you to sing happy birthday.
Also want you to be the team choir director. But on Friday, Georgia Southern would fall 68-56. Nick Stampley and Duke Miles both with 20 for the Trojans. And it looked like Georgia Southern just couldn't bounce back from shooting 27% from the floor in the first half.
Got it inside the arc more than enough, but just got caught in between getting all the way to the rim and taking a good form jump shot. There were a lot of these one-handers, the floaters, the runners, and those are very tough shots to have a high percentage on. I think Georgia Southern got a little bit gun-shy because Troy takes so many charges. They were third in the country in charges taken going into the weekend. Now, they figured it out on Saturday, but Friday it was just a lot of this, trying to run through a wall, realizing that you're not going to run through a wall very often. Made a couple threes. They got it down to seven, but never was a point where you were thinking it was going to go to overtime or the Eagles were going to be able to win. And that was unfortunate because you went into the weekend within striking distance of possibly gaining first place in the East. And as Coastal was losing its first game in Mobile, App State did not play against Georgia State last weekend because of COVID issues. So the Mountaineers just sat in second place and let the rest of the weekend happen. So even though Coastal lost and Georgia Southern lost, Eagles didn't lose a game in the top of the standings, but in essence they kind of did because App gained a half game on both by not playing, so they moved into first place, having not done a thing, and they stayed in first place after Saturday because Coastal lost again, but then Georgia Southern was able to pick things up and split the weekend like they've done four times already this year.
Crazy to think. You go from getting COVID, having to postpone your weekend, and then you move into first place.
I sent Harrison Battle a message about that, the voice of the Mountaineer.
What'd you tell him? Congrats?
Dude, you didn't do anything, and you moved up to spicy. Yeah, about that. I'm watching black ice out here, and we're going into first place.
Would move on to Saturday and would bounce back with a 79-64 victory over the Trojans. Five Eagles in double figures.
Yeah, that was much more like it.
Shot 50% from the floor, 58% from three, yeah. And I think you found the offense.
Andre Saversaw going 4-of-4 from three after starting the year 5 out of 30 was the reaching the mountaintop, if you will. We'll stay on the Appalachian State thing, but he has worked so much on that shot. He has been in shooting threes like Prince Toyabi has been dedicated with shooting free throws. We had Prince on Inside Georgia Southern Basketball last night, and such a soft-spoken guy, somebody that's already married and trying to deal with being a college student athlete during a pandemic, but such a sweet guy. He's going to get a chance to play against one of his best friends this weekend against Georgia State that we'll talk about in a couple of minutes. But for Andre, he has taken so many shots in practice. He has done everything he can to get to a point where he can be a reliable shooter. And whatever it was against Troy in game two, he made the first one, then he made the second one, and I remember saying on the broadcast, that's the first time he's made back-to-back this year. And okay, that would have been good enough. That would have been okay. I'm in rhythm now. I'm going to be able to do things consistently. Then he makes another one, and then he makes another one, and then all of a sudden Georgia Southern's up 21 points. He also had a blocked shot, which led to a run out in the second half where Grant Weatherford had an and-one layup, and I think that's where Georgia Southern, that's where the game was won. That was a huge play.
We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I think it was after the South Alabama weekend, that you feel like the weekend went how that second game went.
Yeah.
And it feels that way for Georgia Southern this week.
Week before, getting smacked by Coastal in game one, and then pretty much a buzzer beater in game two. What do you remember most? Winning game two. Yes, Friday stunk, but you remember the weekend for how it ended. Against South Alabama on the road, you take game one in overtime. Yeah, you're happy. Overtime win at a place where you don't win. Game two, you shoot under 30% and you lose by 14. And then you got to think about it for the next 7 hours on the way home. The way the weekend ends is typically how you remember the weekend.
Can you do that yay again?
What, did my arms actually get in the video? I know I got T-Rex arms, but
yeah, the yay.
So like Frank.
Yay!
we go on the road and we find somewhere where Frank, yes, yes! Fiddles!
That's incredible.
You want to hear a Troy story?
I mean, yeah, it has to involve Barry McKnight, right?
It does. This is a good one. This was as told by the Hall of Famer, Jerry Miller, longtime color broadcaster for the Troy Sports Radio Network. For some reason, we got talking about food. Well, maybe not for some reason. Maybe we are who we are.
I was about to say, you act surprised on that. Okay. Half of this podcast is dedicated to food.
We got talking about travel to Arkansas State for football. Everybody goes into Memphis. Ugh. You stay in Memphis. That's what you do.
Or you drive past it.
Yeah. They ate at Rendezvous one night because that's what you do. They had a big group with them this night, so they sat at a big round table, and the waiter that came out to take their order just started going one by one. I think he went to, this was when Chris Blackshear was still doing their sideline, great guy, and he represented him in the state of Alabama. So they go to the first couple people, they come up to Barry, and Jerry didn't do the voice, but I'm picturing how this sounded in my head.
You have to do the voice.
I'm going to.
Okay.
But the guy asked Barry, all right, what are you going to have? And Barry said, do you have any chicken? And the guy said, you're not ready yet. So he kept going. Everybody else was saying, ribs, ribs, ribs. So everybody else orders. They finally get around back to Barry on the second try. I said, you want to try again? And Barry looked up and said, ribs? He said, there you go. Now you're ready to go. I can only imagine how that would have gone. And everybody else at that table had ribs, and Barry had a nice piece of grilled chicken.
I can see that being Terry for us.
That came up too, because apparently Chris would only go to a restaurant if they had a certain drink, a certain soft drink. And I said, well, you know, with Terry, he has to order last. Otherwise, we will never get out of the restaurant. I think he might have done that when we went to Rendezvous the last time.
I think so.
Because we've been there either two or three times total.
I think you and I have been there more than everybody else.
As it was the group, we were there once, and we had a table kind of off to the side. And I remember, I think Frank and Russ got there late, but Terry was with us. So I think that the three of us had already ordered, but, I mean, Frank and Terry, or Frank and Russ, we knew what they were going to get, but fortunately it was just us and... It was really funny.
Rendezvous was incredible.
Yeah, not that we play Arkansas State in anything.
So. Yeah, right.
I think that we go there for baseball.
Yes, we do.
So there it is. I had a chance to go there in May.
Yeah, but normally with baseball, we stay in Jonesboro.
We're still going to go to it. We'll have to fly to Memphis.
Got to go to it to go through it. Something like that.
Got to go through it to get to it.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. I know it was close. About time for some Eagle Tales from Roger Inman. But again, you can text us 912-274-3607, tweet at GS Sports Network. You can comment here on Facebook Live, a couple of comments coming in. You can ask a question, tell a joke. Any comments you have? Are they good? At this point, it doesn't have to be a good joke. It can be a bad joke or a dad joke. But... Or you can call us at 912-478-7004.
On a touch-tone telephone.
It doesn't have to be a touch-tone.
You can get one of those rotaries or one of the phones like they have in Lassie. You ever seen Lassie? I know you're an old TV guy.
No. I'm sure. I think I've seen bits and pieces. I couldn't tell you what it was about.
The big phone hangs on the wall. They take the earpiece and...
Oh, it's like the one in Andy Griffin where...
you pick up the one...
Yeah.
Except this is a wall mount version of it. You have the more in Andy Griffith, it's the more portable version.
Yeah. And then you talk to Sarah.
Yeah, yes.
But now we'll send it over to Roger with some Eagle Tales.
Time now for Eagle Tales with Danny Reed and Roger Inman.
All right, Roger, I'm in a national championship kind of mood. We've talked before about 1985. Tell me about the 86 playoffs.
86, you're back out to Seattle. The guys over at Arkansas State didn't think that we had a shot, and Coach Lamps probably should have called those guys and reminded them that we came back on firm to beat them, and you know, Arkansas State's just another team in the path of, you know, for a national title game. That particular year, we opened up with North Carolina A&T, Nicholls State. The little flight out to Reno, Nevada. Boy, people have never played in front of the Wolfpacks. I'm not sure if it's still called the Wolfpack today, but you kick a ball into the stands after a touchdown, and their guys in the end zone are just inviting you to come up and dare you to come get your football. And it was safer to leave the football in the stands. It just is, you know, the points we scored, I dang near didn't carry enough footballs with us because they kept most of them. None of us were brave enough to go up in the stands and get them. Won the football game, went back to the hotel. We flew out on Sunday, and Coach Russell told the players not to go to the casino. So he left the hotel and he went to a different casino. That way he couldn't have to look, you know, he didn't have to look after the players. And we all made it back home safe again.
Thank you, Roger. As a special edition, national championship edition of Inside Eagle Nation.
They're all special. They're all special. Every last one of them.
I like how he talks about when Irk said don't go to the casino, so he went to a different one.
Yeah, we could tell a story about when we first were talking about the 86 championship. We're going back 5-6 years now. When Arkansas State said, mail us the trophy. And Eagles go out and win 48-21. Tracy has one of his best games, maybe his best game. The last pass he ever threw was a 79-yard touchdown to Ricky Harris right down the middle. And that old Larry Lacewell wishbone did not work too well that day.
I swear, you're like an encyclopedia of sports and Georgia Southern knowledge.
We got to talk about it.
Yeah, but after you use our cheat sheet. You're the encyclopedia. I'm more of the
You pointed to a box of donuts when you said the cheat sheet, which would be fine, too, because I do feel like we're on stakeout.
You're the encyclopedia. I'm more of the picture book.
We got to be able to talk about stuff.
I'm with you. I'm all for it.
Now, we haven't ever traveled to Washington to play a game out in the Tacoma Dome, but we did go to Idaho.
We traveled to Washington.
Yeah, we did.
As a crew. We got to Washington State, and Frank was dead set on trying to find Mike Leach.
Yeah, how the six of us got into, underneath, and then up the stairs of the football building.
We drove into the stadium.
For a Pac-12 school. Well, the fact that we had a huge car probably helped because we could have been people.
We could have been the CIA for all they knew.
Well, we might have been.
But Frank was like, I think you turn here. So I'm just going. We ended up parking about 7 yards from the field.
Then we get to the lower level of the football operations building, and the six of us are just, oh, yeah, Coach Lease is kind of expecting us. And she says, oh, yeah, right up those steps. And
Frank's like, okay. Frank says, I know Coach Leach. He goes, okay. All right.
Yes, he did.
And he did. He left his business card.
I wonder if Mike actually ever hung on to that.
Didn't he call Frank?
I can't remember.
Because all the coaches were out. I think they
everybody's
were recruiting
out.
Or something.
Yeah,
there wasn't
out.
Anybody there. And I think Frank said he either called him or texted him. And was like, hey, sorry I missed you. Blah, blah, blah. I want to say that. I may have made that up.
He should have sent him a copy of his book. I think Frank should write a book.
There's a lot of people that should probably write a book.
Tales of the Big Guy.
And Terry always says that he's going to write a book one day, and he already has the name for it. I don't know if I'm at liberty to say the name, so I'm not.
I don't want to ruin any surprises.
Yeah, no.
Because I don't even know what the name is.
You've heard it before. But
so I have.
Yes. But this week, it is Southern Not State Week.
Mm.
You're getting fired up already, aren't you?
Simultaneously my favorite and most hated week of the year. All at once.
It's like Christmas and the first day of school all in one.
Okay, I am glad that we get the third floor out of the way on Thursday. I know you've been up there twice already and you got to go back on Saturday, but at least for the mid side, I'm glad we go up Thursday and get it out of the way. I would not want to end the weekend up there.
You're going up all right, because this year, JT Crabtree put out a picture last night and we went back and forth with him on it. But in the Georgia State Sports Arena, because I refuse to call it the GSU Sports Arena, they have... The third floor is where the basketball floor is.
Mm.
Yeah, I know.
Mm. Yep, there's a sign on the wall that tells you.
Uh-huh. There's a button in the elevator you have to push, and I take a picture of it every year. Well, the arena is actually split between the third floor and the fourth floor.
Mm.
So they've got all the seats on the third floor pushed back. They have the seats that are really only pushed out on the fourth floor for Georgia Southern games, they're out, and that's the only seating that you've got. Well, they have us. You can go up to the fifth floor, and the fifth floor is so seldom used, the elevator doesn't get there. So you have to go to the stairs to go to the fifth floor. I know you take the stairs anyway, but...
Yeah, but for this high up, I might need to find other means.
You might need an oxygen tank. But we are at the top of the fourth floor, probably 5 steps from the fifth floor, on a table in the stands.
I'm already getting itchy. I'm already getting itchy about this. I don't know that of all the pictures I've taken at that place, I don't know if I've ever been up as high as the fifth floor. I usually go on the other side of the railing for the fourth floor.
Right.
You can get everything you need to in there.
Right. I told you yesterday, it may not be a bad idea for binoculars. And you're going to have to talk to JT, who's going to be there tonight.
Now, they play in a few hours. They play 2 o'clock.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Good idea, by the way. Get that game done, middle of the week, get back, because you've got to get ready if you're them for Thursday, Saturday. For South, they got to play Troy, and all Georgia State has to do is make sure that they can get through the game, because the Eagles are going up there on Wednesday for a Thursday night matchup. Then they come our way on Friday for a Saturday afternoon game.
We'll dive into the men's basketball matchup with Georgia State a little bit later on, but first, the women come in 8-9, 4-6 in conference play. Georgia State at 9-6, 5-3 in conference after they just swept the weekend against Appalachian State up in Boone. Taylor Hosendove had a buzzer beater in that one. The junior out of Los Angeles transferred in from Clemson a couple of years ago. She's leading the way with 11 points, 8 rebounds per contest, and she's really what this offense is all about.
She seems like she's been there a lot longer than a couple of years.
You are not joking.
This is six for me. It feels like she's been there the entire time.
There's a couple people. Pri Stanley for App is another one. Lainey Gosnell for App is another one that feel like they've been there about as long as Hunter Renfro.
Some people would say that about Tukey Brown here or Shai Wirtz here, even though the Shai Wirtz thing isn't true anymore. There's the Tukey, but
they probably stayed the same thing about Matt Anderson.
Yeah, but he's still here.
Be right.
Somebody walk up, I could have sworn you had a catcher named Matt Anderson back in 2016. Oh, we did.
Yep.
Same guy.
We did.
Going for his doctorate this year.
He's still here.
Dr. Anderson.
Dr. Matt.
Dr.
But Georgia State, and Coach Howard touched on it last night on Inside Georgia Southern Basketball, Georgia State's got a lot of transfers in. Gene Hill in his third year, at Georgia State. We've got a transfer from Alabama in Tania Worth. We've got a transfer in from Southern Union and Alexis Bell, the 6'1 junior.
Old Southern Union State. You don't hear that one very often.
You hear it a lot more in baseball than you do in other sports. But you've got a transfer in from Kentucky in Desma Morrell. Hannah Sadler was not necessarily eligible. She's from Old Dominion.
103-38. Kentucky?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Kentucky University. Yeah, we got it. We got it. We're all over it. That's another good story we got to tell eventually. But Merrill has only played in 8 games because she wasn't initially eligible until after the fall semester was over because of the transfer rules. But a lot of players that have transferred in, and most of them had to sit out last year under Gene Hill in his second year, because of transfer rules and whatnot, but this year they're eligible, and it feels like it's all starting to really click for this Georgia State team. Again, just swept Appalachian State. And it's a Georgia State team that was picked fifth in the East, but they are slowly but surely climbing up the Sun Belt charts.
You always wonder with a team that is so new, and especially one that has so many transfers, because this is a different animal than getting freshmen. Freshmen are straight out of high school. They are willing to do just about everything because they're probably scared to death of whatever's going on from a college standpoint. But for transfers, they have been somewhere before. If they can sit that first year, they at least get used to the way of doing things at a new place. With the blanket waiver now in place, if you're going to a new school, you're playing right away. And it may take, honestly, what you've seen with the Georgia Southern men, it takes time to click on court. You can be together ever since June. I think Coach Burke says June 22nd was when they all got back together. And there have been times this year where they've looked awesome. There have been other times where it looks like a team that is still a lot of individual pieces trying to discover what team is like. But at least for the Georgia State women, having so many that were already there for a year, and yeah, they had to sit, which people don't like to do, but they could get acclimated in a way that you wouldn't have ordinarily had a chance to have gotten.
Before we dive into the Georgia Southern men's basketball, something that I meant to mention earlier, if you're on Inside Eagle Nation Live, send us a comment, a tweet of something that you would like us to do. And it's one of those, almost like a Whose Line Is It Anyway? Do you used to watch that show?
Oh, I loved it. Loved Whose Line.
Great show.
Wayne Brady, Ryan Stiles.
Yeah. We're not going to do a hoedown.
Yeah, we're not going to do scenes from a hat.
No. Well, well maybe. But comment what... and
Irish drinking song probably would get us kicked off after this episode.
Yeah, probably. But it's more of if you've got any impressions that you want Danny to either dust off or try or begin doing, let us know.
Why, did we get one?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. Might be coming. I don't know.
I went back and saw a couple that we did get, and I'm glad that we didn't go with those.
Yeah. Georgia Southern women's basketball will be at Hanner Fieldhouse on Thursday. 6 o'clock the tip-off between Georgia Southern and Georgia State. And then 2 o'clock the tip-off up on the third floor of the Georgia State Sports Arena just off Decatur Street in downtown Hotlanta on Saturday. Mm. And then Georgia Southern men, take what I just said and flip it. 6 o'clock the tip-off from the third floor, Danny's favorite arena in the league. We're on video now because you can see the look he just gave me.
There's a couple of rare form days. There's a good chance that Thursday is going to be a rare form day because we're two floors up from where we'd ordinarily be benchside, and now we're across the way, two more flights up.
Get your steps in. You need to wear your Fitbit that day.
Good Lord. Here's the part about Georgia State, though. It's not the same kind of feeling as when Ron Hunter was there. And
no,
that's
not
that regime was there. I know he's at Tulane. I know he's trying to get things going in the AAC. Rob Lanier is a really likable guy from the interviews that I've watched and the journey he's taken coaching wise. He was with Rick Barnes for a number of years at both Texas and Tennessee. He was assistants with Chris Ogden, who of course now is the head coach at UT Arlington. It's a different dynamic because while they were playing zone, everybody else was playing man. Now they're playing man, and everybody else in the league's playing zone. It's just flipped completely around. They're a tough man team. They force a lot of turnovers. They don't commit a lot of turnovers. They're still shooting a bunch of threes with Corey Allen, Justin Roberts, and Kane Williams. But the card about them this year, they've had COVID issues. They've had a lot of COVID issues. Today represents their sixth conference game. There have been teams, there are five other teams in the league that have played 12. Because we've been 6 weekends in. But they've had 4 different weekends affected by COVID. They've missed 3 completely, which is why they're going to have to start making up games with this one against South Alabama that they'll play at 2 o'clock today up in Atlanta. But they missed 7 games in league play, and they've only played 5. So it's hard to get a read on where they are as a team because they haven't played in 2.5 weeks. So you don't know where they are.
I think you were saying 17 days.
Yeah, today's 17
games?
Days, yeah.
Holy cow.
And they had a 14-day break in between games when they played their first two. They were up in Conway. They split with Coastal. Their next game was against Coastal because they had missed the week before. But even that Friday game was called off because they didn't have a full day to practice after getting out of protocol. That's one of the league mandates. You can be in for 7 days, but then when you come back, you have to have at least that one day to get back on the court and prepare. Then they beat Coastal that Saturday. Have to be an off for 2 weeks.
So you're telling me in conference play, they have had a month off combined?
Yeah. Yeah, this would be 31 combined days off with today.
Good grief.
But South Al, they made it. JT sent us the video of broadcasting from the boonies. And I guess they're going to try to do it.
Kind of give it a go. You said a 2 o'clock tip-off this afternoon?
2 o'clock tip, and I think the coaching staff and the players, they'll be able to catch it live. They're not going to practice until later on this afternoon, right around the time when volleyball is going to be hosting North Florida to wrap up its spring schedule. But definitely a little bit different. You're back to your Thursday, Saturday. But since this is rivalry week, this is the only time you see your rival outside of possibly a conference tournament.
That's so weird to me. The fact that the team that is closest to you is the one you only played twice.
You got to worry about South 4 times, Troy, Coastal, App. You got to play them 4 times, hopefully. You get your rival twice in the same week. That's it.
That's wow. Seems like you're getting gypped.
Mentioned earlier, though, about Prince Toyambi having him on Inside Georgia Southern Basketball last night. One of his best friends plays for Georgia State. Eliel Sosemi, who's leading the league in rebounding. He's top 5 nationally in rebounding, 10 boards a game. He's one of the guys that was affected by COVID earlier this year. The two of them went to Cincinnati together. They're also from Kinshasa, which is in Congo. Same hometown. So basically grew up together. They played against each other. They were on the scout team at Cincinnati together. And Prince said, once we got finished, that they had talked a couple of days ago. It wasn't necessarily about playing against each other, but it was just, hey, how are you doing? I'm fine. I'm up in Atlanta. I'm in Statesboro. Just wild how their careers have been either completely connected or close enough where they're still going to be able to play each other. That's going to be a nice storyline this weekend.
So it'll be a 6 o'clock tip-off on Thursday from the third floor of the Georgia State Sports Arena. Saturday, Georgia Southern men's basketball will head back home to take on the Georgia State Panthers at 2 o'clock.
Whiteout this weekend.
It's a whiteout this weekend. They're also giving away at both the men's and women's game on Thursday and Saturday.
Do we have one?
There's one out there.
Can I go off camera?
You can do whatever you want. I can't keep you there.
Be right back.
But the first 500 fans that will make their way into Hanner Fieldhouse will get a rally towel that's a replica of the... You don't have to sneak back in. A rally towel that is the replica of the floor at Hanner. You got to back that up. There it is. So the floor replica rally towel. So there is your replica rally. What are you playing, peekaboo?
Peekaboo.
Please don't do that again. Please. So the first 500 fans, both on Thursday and Saturday, will be getting one of those inside Hanner Fieldhouse. Also on Saturday, got the Day at the Diamond, the baseball event over at J.I. Clement Stadium, hopefully weather permitting. Get to hear from Ron Polk, the, some say, the father of SEC baseball, or godfather, grandfather.
All of it.
All of it.
Two stints in Mississippi State. Of course, took Georgia Southern to the College World Series back in 1973. Only had him for 4 years, but he has definitely had an amazing baseball career. Doesn't have a cell phone, doesn't use a computer, typewriter.
Wow.
He's a volunteer assistant at UAB right now, and they did a story about him last year about how he still communicates with people.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And Georgia Southern has UAB on the schedule this year.
There it is.
COVID permitting.
Before we wrap this up,
we're live.
We got one more thing we've got to get to, and it just went live on Facebook.
Are we breaking news?
I don't think we're breaking it. So, because Thursday you're going to be up in Atlanta with Georgia Southern men's basketball, I will be going solo over to East Georgia's morning show. And I'll be going solo. They have a toy, one of those wooden basketball hoops that you put the ball on the little spring and flip it and try to get it into the hoop.
And the ball's on a string.
Right. I've been playing with this in breaks ever since they got it at Christmas. Well, Jonathan Vreeland, who's been working with us a little bit with studio engineering, he has challenged me to a contest, a shootout. I'm not sure what the structure of this shootout is, but they just put out a video on their Facebook page. You can go to 106.5 The Borough or Eagle 94.9 and check out the video of Jonathan training Rocky style for this shootout. So Thursday, 8 a.m.
You woke him up, man.
Hey, if you don't want it, this is the only basketball I can do. So
he started 2-of-2 last week. You made your first two shots last week, and I said you should have just been finished after the first one, but you made your second one. This is a tough rim to shoot on.
It is. They had to glue it back on.
He was shooting the net off. That's how good he was.
It doesn't have a net. Shooting the...
No, not now. take a look at the video, though. It's good, and apparently you got a shoot-off on Thursday.
Yeah, I got to get ready.
I'm going to be watching it virtually.
We should Facebook Live that. This may be becoming a lot bigger than it needs to be. I don't know if we're going to start a, like, Team Colin, Team Jonathan type thing, or...
Travis is a house divided.
I think Travis would go with Jonathan. That'll be Thursday in the 8 o'clock hour over at East Georgia's Morning Show, Eagle 94.9 and 106.5, The Borough. In town, or you can go to their Facebook page and catch the stream. We will also tweet that out on Thursday morning. You ready to go to Atlanta?
Look, y'all know my feelings about this.
I love it. This is just poking the bear.
Well, the fact that it's on video. I don't do a very good job at concealing my feelings about where we're going. And for the first 4 years I was here, it just all sounded like it was bitter. But last year, when you go up there and you win twice after not winning there since 1992, I feel like you're on a roll now. You go up there at the end of February, win 79-70. That was an awesome bus ride home. It felt like it took 15 minutes, but I know it's 3 hours. It felt like it took 15 minutes. Then you got to go back up there for the quarterfinals of the tournament after coming back against Louisiana here, and then just dominated State. Won by 19. It was their worst home loss in 4 years, and then the shutdown was the next day. So we were in Atlanta waiting to go to New Orleans for the tournament when that was it. Got shut down.
It's crazy to think what...
That was March 12th.
What, almost a year... I think Kim Dean was telling me that they will be 11 months and 1 day between their games.
They had played 24 games.
Yeah.
Eagle baseball had played 16, but for the softball team, we know they start a week earlier, and they have quite a few more tournaments, but they'd already gotten 24 games, and that's just about half your schedule.
Yeah.
And Mekhi Freeman was off to an historic start. You never know where it would have gone with Eagle baseball, 11-5, beat Georgia 3 times, 7 straight wins. Just don't know what would happen.
We'll find out what happens in 2021 this weekend as Georgia Southern softball will get it going in the Bash in the Borough. Georgia Southern men's and women's basketball in action on Thursday and Saturday. And then next week, February the 19th, Georgia Southern baseball opens up against the Tennessee Volunteers, number 19th in the country, according to the D1 baseball poll. Starting to get busy, but we wouldn't have it any other way. Or that's what they say, anyway.
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to say, I guess.
But that'll wrap things up for this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation. We'll tune in next week and then this weekend for Georgia Southern basketball. For the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.